We love growing onions and other allium. It is one of our favourite things to grow. For years, we have gardened in the subarctic without much concern for the common pests that most gardeners at more southern latitudes face. We will never have to deal with hornworms or countless other pests while gardening in Alaska. Our luck ran out, though. As it turns out, we had a really bad infestation of onion root maggots, also known as an onion fly, in 2020. They devastated nearly our entire allium crop in 2020 and has us scared to bits for the future. This post is about how we successfully defeated the onion flies in our garden. Identifying an onion root maggot infestation, we noticed about midway through summer that several of our onions were dying. At first, we thought we just had some bad onion sets. Our onions that were grown from seed were doing just fine, but many of our onion sets were not making it. We cursed the manufacturer, vowing only to grow our own onions from seed in the future. When our homegrown onions started to also have problems a couple weeks later, we knew something serious was up. Essentially, the plants were starting to yellow quite quickly. The onion stem would eventually collapse, and within days, the plant had died. We pulled up a few onions prematurely to see what was going on. Aghast at what we saw, there were maggots literally crawling on the inside and outside of the onion's bulb. We had no idea what this thing was, other than disgusting. We turned to the internet, just like our potential reader might be, learning everything about this dastardly creature. By the time our season was over, they had hit our garlic, our leeks, our shallots, and almost all of our onions. We lost almost everything allium related. It was a rather unwelcome entry to the hell of the onion maggot. What is an onion root maggot, anyway? This particular fly has evolved to love onions and any allium-based plant. It feeds on onions, shallots, leeks, chives, and garlic. There is surprisingly much written about them, from academic papers to countless websites that describe practically every aspect you would ever want to know about a fly. This page is not about all that. This page exists because there is virtually nothing offered out there that a gardener can do to get rid of them, once they have them. To understand how we beat them, you need a basic understanding of the onion fly life cycle. An onion fly will seek out allium plants and lay their larvae around the base of the plant. The larvae burrow into the soil, eventually becoming full-sized maggots. These maggots proceed to feed on your allium and garlic bulbs. This almost certainly kills the allium plant. The maggots will then pupate into a cocoon, should it need to survive the winter. In longer seasons, it may pupate into a fly in the same season or remain as a cocoon to survive the winter. The cocoon will again pupate into fly form, where they burrow back up the soil. They then fly around to find a mate and more allium plants to find and destroy, starting the entire process over again. This process can happen a couple of times over the summer. In subarctic regions, the time frame where they are active is approximately June through August. Worse yet, these butterflies from hell have figured out how to survive our extreme northern winters. Essentially, the larvae will live under the soil until the following winter. Again, they emerge as flies in the early summer and start the whole process again. The true terror of the onion maggot. The problem with the onion maggot is that you do not even know you are infested until the plants start to fail. Once the plant starts to fail, there is nothing you can do. The damage to your allium has already been done. Even if you harvest early, you are likely to experience secondary rot from a significant number of your allium plants. The only effective mechanisms against the onion maggot are through prevention. Once you have the problem, though, you have a serious problem. The life cycle will continue, so long as you continue to grow allium. The fly can go almost anywhere, but why would it when you are growing everything at once right there? Everything we read that talked about recovering from onion flies was doomsday-level garden prophecy. It was pretty disheartening. To be honest, we have read that you need to move your garden approximately 1 mile from its current location to break the cycle. Some writers went so far as to say your soil is done for. Dig it up. Throw it away, never to be used in gardening again. Apparently the maggot cocoon can survive up to 6 years under the soil. You might have to stop growing allium for that entire period to get them to leave your garden. This is not happening. These bugs are a special kind of hell. Welcome to the pleasure dome, flies. It was our garden, but whatever. The primary defences against the onion maggot. Obviously, we had no choice but to deal with this problem head on. We read countless academic studies and web pages about the onion fly. We learned that prevention was really the only effective mechanism at dealing with them. Most of the effective prevention techniques we found were cover your onion garden with bug netting or remake cloth to prevent access to your allium by the flies. Spread wood ash around the onion plants. This makes a less desirable spot for the fly and larvae. Spread diatomaceous earth around the onion plants. Dew has the ability to physically harm the larvae, but it also is rendered ineffective by every rainfall yellow sticky fly traps. This is a commonly accepted preventative measure for commercial cultivation. It assumes some of your harvest will be hit, but simply tries to reduce the impact. Rotate your crops frequently. Really, this is only effective in very large farms, as moving onions a few feet in any direction will not make much of a difference. There are some very expensive commercial pesticides, but we really did not want to use these, and this is not exactly something you pick up at your local nursery. The real problem is that we knew our garden was going to produce a metric ton of onion flies the next year. We already had thousands of offspring cocoons in our soil. We knew this because we dug many of the cocoons up once we discovered what happened to that year's onion and garlic crop. The most effective prevention strategy, covering our crop, was almost worthless since the flies would emerge from within our own soil, creating a multi-pronged defence strategy against the onion maggot. With pretty much no good news coming from our onion maggot infestation research, we sought to develop a reasonable approach to dealing with the problem that did not involve throwing our soil away or moving our house a mile. Unfortunately, cats are not an effective prevention measure for onion flies. It would have been cool if that worked, though. We knew we had to disrupt the life cycle somehow, possibly in multiple ways. We thought long and hard about what was to come and developed a multi-pronged defence strategy to try and deal with them. Sometimes the best defence is the best offence. Essentially, this is what we came up with. Rotate beds sundered. All allium will be planted in a different raised bed, presumably beds with fewer onion fly cocoons in them. That is not a certainty, though, and it turned out it was not. The onion fly cocoons are everywhere once you get hit, even in beds you did not have allium in. Bug netting cloths in. We will add hoops and bug netting cloth over the new allium bed. This will do two things. Prevent external flies from accessing our allium and prevent the emerging flies from escaping our garden at will. We could effectively monitor and control what happened. Any onion flies that emerged came from our soil. New onion flies would hopefully move on to greener pastures. Yellow sticky traps. Add many yellow sticky traps under the bug netting cloth. When the flies emerge, many of them will get caught on the yellow sticky traps. We promised to replace them as often as necessary. Bulk pack time. A dead onion fly is a well-behaved onion fly. Add yellow sticky traps around the garden. We would not wish these on our worst enemy. So if we can, we will prevent as many onion flies from completing their life cycle as possible. We decided to forgo any soil treatments, mostly because we are not the kind of gardeners that are diligent enough to replace it after every rainfall. We wanted hard, permanent defence strategies. The idea behind this strategy was that we could observe the emergence of new flies from within our soil, as they would be trapped under the bug netting. We figured we had a little bit of time between emergence, mating and laying new larvae. We did not know exactly how much time, though. The thought was if we could allow the emergence and release the contained flies into the wild prior to that mating and larvae laying completion, they would not be able to get back into our allium because of the bug netting. So, with a plan and a Hail Mary, we raised our onion crops the following season, just like we usually did. Trap set. This is what happened next. We got the hoops installed on our raised beds very early in the season, so we would be ready to add the bug netting as soon as we transplanted. To say we were hesitant to transplant our onions into the garden is an understatement, but we at least had a plan. We interspersed a dozen yellow sticky traps in the bed after the onion transplant. We also prepared our garlic bed similarly, except for having planted the garlic the previous fall. Once everything was wrapped up in the bed, we covered the beds with bug netting. We secured the netting with cheap clamps. Then we waited. This was our allium bed, after we had prepared it for protection. This bed has carrots, onion, leeks, and green bunching onions in it. These beds are 4 foot by 10 foot in size. Our garlic bed was prepared in a similar fashion. All allium, including garlic, are susceptible to the onion fly, though they certainly prefer onions and shallots. These beds are 2 foot by 10 foot in size. We used fairly long hoops to create height for the garlic. We expected emergence in late June, based on what we had read, once the soil really started to warm up. A couple of weeks after transplanting our onions, we started to see flies getting trapped on the yellow sticky traps. By late June, we had hundreds of flies trapped inside the hooped and covered domes. We released the trapped flies into the wild by removing the bug netting every few days. Sometimes we literally had to knock them out. We did this every 2 to 3 days for about a couple of weeks. The number of flies was unbelievable. Soon, though, the new flies started to decrease in numbers. Then there were none. We felt maybe a little bit better, but we still know nothing just yet. The hard part is always waiting. We did not know if our plan would work. We did not know for sure that the flies had not just emerged, mated and relayed their larvae. I figured it would take some time to go through that process, but did not know if that was measured in hours, days or weeks. We could have pulled up a few sample plants early in the season. But to us, that did not matter. We would see this bug. If they had laid their larvae, it was game over again anyway. And soon. So we painstakingly watched our plants, expecting the worst. As we rolled into July, the plants remained strong. Then we got into August. The onions were growing. The stalks were healthy. We started to think maybe we were in the clear. Then came September. It was harvest time, the moment of truth. You, of course, know what is coming, because you read the title of this article, Zero Onion Maggot Infestation. Report, zero maggots. Turns out you can beat the onion fly. The reality of all this is much worse, but manageable. It is likely we are going to have to treat our onion gardens like this for years to come. This is not a one-and-done thing. If you continue to grow allium, you can just as likely be reinfested. The cocoons can live for up to 6 years under your soil. It is likely these flies will emerge from our soils for at least the next season or two, maybe more. A 3-year update, this is absolutely true. Once you have these buggers, you have to remain ever vigilant. We got a bit lazy in our third season of protection and ignored a few flies that had emerged. We got a minor amount of maggot damage that year. This tells us two things. The cocoons can survive for many years, and the flies can also mate, even under bug netting. Bottom line, we cannot ever grow onions again without having them covered. That is the number one reason we did not get another infestation. We are kind of lucky in the subarctic that we do not have to deal with a lot of different kinds of pests. I guess this one makes up for that. Following on to our 3-year update above, we have also proven this technique works year after year. We have had few further issues, except for when we have become a bit lazy about it. So long as you release flies continually and keep your allium well protected, you should be okay in future years, adapting the strategy to other gardens. It was really surprising to me to find no information on effectively eradicating the onion fly from a garden it had infested. We hope this post sees the circles out there, a shot across the bow that you can actually beat them with a little bit of effort. Some of the writers out there really make it sound like onion flies are the end of allium gardening as you know it. Our solution does, of course, require some regular observation of your gardens and semi-frequent manual labour to deal with them. Diligence, essentially, but it strikes me as a method that could be used in many different kinds of gardens. Erecting hoops is not an uncommon thing in gardening, and there are several ways to do it. This is a pretty simple application, too. It is not like we are looking for it to be capable of snow loads or anything. Cost-wise, this intervention was not too bad. There was some investment in PVC, conduit clamps, screws and bug netting. It was probably about $100 in total. We plan to prepare almost all of our raised beds in this way, so we can freely move our garlic and allium into any of our raised beds. Plus, it gives us a lot of flexibility to lay down frost cloth should we ever need it. We would generally prefer to avoid the use of sticky traps. They are pretty gross to handle. When full especially, it would take an academic study to find out if they contributed in any way to the success of our proposed technique. We are not convinced the sticky traps made more of a difference than not having them from a prevention standpoint. Sticky traps make sense, but the traps do give you another chance to stop the life cycle, should an onion fly breach your bug netting. At the end of the day, in my book, a dead onion fly or 1,000 is definitely okay with me. We hope this gives you courage. If you also grow allium, we hope you never are impacted by the onion fly. Many gardeners have sworn off growing allium because of the onion fly. The current literature out there is terrifying. We thought it was important to share our experience and the methods we used to get a maggot-free crop shortly after an onion fly infestation. The techniques we describe here certainly are not for everyone, but they will help the determined allium grower survive what is out there. As always, should you have any comments, success stories, thoughts, or alternatives, be sure to slap a comment below.